Psalm 17. Hear, O Lord, my cry. Listen to my prayer that goes out of absolutely genuine lips. Let my answer come forth from your presence. Let your eyes see that which is equal. So he's realizing that his words of prayer are actually going into the very presence of God. And God is then giving his response. You have tested my heart. You've visited me in the night. You've tried me and have found nothing. I am purposed that my lips will not sin. So God looks at your thoughts even when it's night. God goes through your thoughts even when you're sleeping, because our thoughts are so important to God. As for the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept me from the ways of the destroyer. So then, the word of God that we have, the Bible, is inspired by God. So although it is in one sense words on a screen or on paper, it is also the very word of God's lips, that this is actually him speaking to us. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet haven't slipped. I've called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and listen to my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness, O you who saves by your right hand those who put their trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Now, the apple of your eye, that's your eyeball. This is one of the most sensitive spots on the human body. And anything that gets anywhere near it, or your eyelids come down and you defend it. And so that is how we are to God. Anyone comes near us, we're the apple of his eye. And that's also why we must never be nasty to those who are God's children, because he's very sensitive to anything said and done against his people. And we all say things about others that we really didn't ought to. And then when he says, hide me under the shadow of your wings, well, here's David running away, probably from Saul or Absalom, and he can't get to the sanctuary where there's the ark, this golden box where the special presence of God was on top of it, on the lid of it, called the mercy seat in the New Testament. And over the lid of that box, that Ark of the Covenant, there were the overshadowing wings of the cherubim. And David says, hide me under the shadow of your wings. So he feels that he's living on top of this little box called the Ark of the Covenant, where once a year the high priest would sprinkle the blood of atonement on the Day of Atonement that represented the blood of Jesus. And there was the glory of God, between the wings of the cherubim. And David says, that's where I live. So you don't need all that sort of religious structure. You can be there in the very presence of God, with the very glory of God around you. Hide me from the wicked who spoil me, from my deadly enemies who are surrounding me. So he's saying, they surround me, but I want you to surround me with the shadow of your wings. They're enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They've now surrounded me, but they set their eyes down to the earth. So he's saying that they're looking down, but I am looking up. And that's how life is, that the unbelievers are looking down, whereas we are looking up. He's like a lion that's greedy of his prey, like a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord. So just as a lion lurks and then it couches and then it jumps, it arises. So he says, yeah, that's what they're doing to me. But you be a big lion for me, O Lord. You arise and confront them and cast them down and save my soul from the wicked, from men. For men of the world, whose portion is in this life, and whose belly you will fill with hid treasure. In other words, men of the world have their inheritance, their reward now in this life. But we have our reward, our inheritance, not in this life, but when Jesus comes back. They will leave the rest of their wealth to their babies. But as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. So all they can do is to get rich and then die and leave it to someone else. And those people might even just be babies. They've got no idea how they're going to turn out, whether they're going to be sensible people or not. Whereas our hope is not wealth in this life, but to see the face of God. Wow. And to see him forever. This is what Job said. He said, after I'm dead, worms will destroy my body, but in my flesh I will see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. So what he's saying then is that I personally will see God. That's the light at the end of my tunnel. At the end of the whole Bible, in the book of Revelation, you have this wonderful picture of where God himself will be with us and will wipe away all tears from our eyes. So God is real. God exists as a real personal being. And we're made in the image of God. So God is real. He's an actual person. And we're in his image. And at the end, we will see his face and live with him forever. Now, that's our wonderful hope. And he contrasts that with what he calls the men of the world who have their portion in this life. That's all they've got. They've got no further hope. Just their wealth now, which they're going to leave to somebody else.